am very glad that you guys keep me in check when it comes to this. Because clearly I fail every week. Hello and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everyone. This is episode 71, season 2, episode 26. How goes?
Wow. That's time has really flown by.
It has flown by.
I didn't realize we're already 20 some odd episodes into season 2.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
That shit's cray.
I am so tired. I listened to last week's show and I was like, man, I sounded like I had no energy. I'm definitely in that, like, you know, I struggle by lunchtime phase.
Not so much driving the struggle bus, but you just are the struggle bus.
I am the struggle bus. And it's interesting.
Wearing it.
This was not how it was like with Zach. So, I don't know.
Well, but you also didn't have another child to take care of and keep alive.
But to be fair, do I really take care of him? He goes to daycare.
He's not at daycare 24/7.
That's very true. And he is a very assertive child when he is home. But I had my 37-week appointment with my OBGYN on Monday. And okay. I guess I'm just going to start with this. So a couple of things that happened. you know what I'm going to talk about?
We're going to get there eventually.
2 minutes into the show, but I may as well. So a couple of things. First, I was talking to the doctor and I have low blood platelets naturally, right? Like they're usually like under 110, which is really low because they're supposed to be like 150, but that's how my body is. So, you know, they had it in my chart and she brings it up. She's like, you know, do you want an epidural? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want an epidural. So she's like, okay, well, we have to test it and make sure that they're above a certain level so that way you can still get the epidural. And I was like, okay, cool. So she sends me to the lab and they prick me, you know, in between like the crease of your elbow. And she must have been new because I had not had her, because I, you know, you get blood tests fairly regularly when you're pregnant, and or at least in my office you do. And she, it like squirts up and out, and she goes, "Ooh, you're a squirter!"
Oh my god! What a choice! Why would you say that?
So, did you explain to her what that actually is?
Oh no, I think she knew. I think that was the joke. It was a holiday. It was Monday. It was Martin Luther King Day. I'm sure she needs it. But I started laughing. I was like, listen, lady, it happens to the best of us sometimes, okay? So it was really funny. And then I mentioned last week about how my stomach, like, really is sensitive to the touch, right? Like, I can't have the brace touch it. I can't have, like, clothing touch. And it's been like this for over a month. And I had noticed a while ago that above my belly button, it's, like, concave. And I asked her, I was like, so, like, I have pain radiating. And, like, I figured out it's radiating from, like, this, like, hole in my stomach. And she says, oh, yeah, you have ab something, separatus something. So apparently my abs are split apart. Like, my left ab and my right ab are no longer together.
Oh, my God.
So, hold on, I can... And it's fairly... Hold on, I have split.
Good God. Ugh, are you trying to make me throw up on this episode?
No. I have a funny. It's called diastasis recti. And
no, I didn't even know that was, like, a thing.
Yeah, right. So it's a thing, and it hurts, and I have it. But she was like, don't worry, you can fix it with, like, physical therapy or whatever. And it's, like, covered by insurance, and it will, like, start to heal after.
But that's good. So it's common enough that insurance covers it.
Yeah, so it is common. I know that...
I don't know if that's good or...
It's not.
That's, like, good for you, bad for womankind.
It fucking hurts. I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel bad complaining, but at least now I know it's not just me being a wuss. So apparently some of the things like that it like characterizes it is because they're it's ripped apart, like your intestines and like your stomach stuff is only held together, like held in by like a thin. Anyway, so now that you guys look totally horrified and grossed out, I'm fine. This is like a nothing in terms of
my dinner, not so fine.
Pregnancy things. So anyway, I had read a little bit, like I Googled it in the room. And I saw that, like, you can't do certain ab workout, like, exercises and stuff. And I was like,
well, that's for damn sure.
I said to Jay, I was like, I'm never going to have ripped abs. And then he goes, well, technically, you do have ripped abs. So now I can tell everybody that I have ripped abs. My abs are ripped.
Oh. Oh, that man. Jay Gladfelter. What a cut up.
I was originally going to tell the story and take credit for the joke myself, but I'll give credit where credit's due. So, I have ripped abs, this and I'm a squirter. Terrible. Best doctor's visit ever.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, it does kind of sound like a porn scenario.
No, I'm just thinking like blood fountain. Like, ugh.
Oh,
see, in my mind, I've already passed to the other squirting, so I did not have that visual. I'm not sure which is better or worse, but
gross. It's
probably
gross.
The blood is
mine
worse.
Is not good. It's real gross. It's
not
really
that I'm actually like picturing your vagina, Colleen.
No, it's cool. You can picture it. A lot of people have seen it recently, so
you like to look at it.
The rest of you listening, though, you cannot picture it. So I did not consent to you guys picturing it. but on a less gross note, my Lazy Boy got delivered for the nursery.
Oh, that's good. So nice.
So we did the Lazy Boy because we were thinking, because with Zach's, we got this rocking chair or whatever. And it was fine, but, you know, Zach never slept. So we would end up staying overnight in this rocking chair, which, you know, after a while was not the most comfortable fit. And it used to squeak and stuff. So we had some recommendations from people to get something nice that you can use in another room of your house that would be, you know, like make an investment and then use it elsewhere. So we ended up doing that. And we went to the store itself because we wanted to, like, test them out. And then we saw they were having, like, a factory warehouse sale. So, you know, we got it or whatever. And then she said as we were leaving that they price match. So if you found it anywhere else, just let them know. So I found it for $400 cheaper, $500 cheaper on Wayfair, the same exact chair. So the next day, Jay, like, just sent them the link. And they were like, okay. So they gave us a refund of the difference in price and an additional 10%.
Oh, wow.
So
nice. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. If you're out there and you're considering buying a Lazy Boy, see if your store has the same policy where they'll give you the one thing and then the additional. Here's just a little pro tip that I just learned by accident last week.
Very nice.
So
nice. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was over good and done deal. With in 7 minutes. This was a quickie.
That's got to be a record for you.
Quick start for me. What do I know? I'm a squirter.
Yep. Well.
Yeah. Some yeah. powerful stuff.
Get it done quick.
What's up?
Yeah. I had people over this weekend. That was really fun. I made a big like Moroccan dinner.
I saw that on the Facebooks.
Yeah, it came out awesome. So, a group of my like fellow counselors from when I used to do summer camp, I try and host a family dinner every year for us all to kind of get together and be together. And I totally dropped the ball last year. So this was kind of the 2017 family dinner. And to make up for being such a punk ass about it, I said I would do Moroccan food because it was like a good chance to try out my skills from like the cooking class we did in Marrakesh. Yeah, and it came out really, really good. I definitely had to adapt things just because like the tagines we had weren't big enough and I don't have a proper like couscous maker to really do that. So I had to kind of like fudge it, but it was really fun. We drank a shit ton of wine. yeah, and it was nice seeing all those people. Daniel and I went to see I, Tonya yesterday.
Oh, how was? Jay saw that.
It was awesome. I really, really liked it. Yeah, we went to the BAM movie theater, the Brooklyn Academy of Music, which I hadn't been to in a while, and I forgot, like, just what a cool space that is. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good weekend all around. Oh, and I've started the artist way. So that's my next big challenge for myself. So kind of a late resolution for my year.
What is it?
It's kind of like a self-help sort of guided 12-week course to get back in touch with your creative self.
Ooh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I've had some other creative friends who've done it over the years. And one in particular that did it this time last year was like, oh, you should totally do it. And I was like, yeah. And I didn't, because I'm me. And I am scared of anything that seems remotely challenging and scary. But then a friend of mine reached out the end of last year and was like, hey, I want to get a group together and do this as a group. And who's interested? And I was like, all right, universe, I see you. I'll do it. So we had our first meeting on Sunday.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's, so I'm nervously optimistic about it. So like for this first one, and you're due for the whole time, it'll be this, but like I have to get up and do morning pages every morning. So I have to get up and handwrite 3 pages.
Oh, it cool.
Could be anything.
Like doing a reflection kind of thing, like when you're religious?
Sort of, but it's just like writing whatever comes to your mind. Like the whole thought of it is to...
I love that.
Push past your self-doubt. Because oftentimes when you write something, it's very common to be like, oh, I suck. This is terrible. And you talk yourself out of the idea.
Yeah.
And so the thought of these morning pages is to just kind of push you past that. I'm just like, don't think, don't judge, just write whatever comes to mind. If nothing comes to mind, write about how you can't think of anything to write. Just fill 3 pages. So I'm doing that. I'm getting up in the morning and I'm writing and working out. So I don't know when I'm going to sleep. So I'm a little nervous that it's not a sustainable schedule, but
it's only what, 12 weeks? See.
It's 12 weeks.
You got this.
Yeah. So we'll see. So here I am voicing it on the podcast. Keep me accountable, folks. Because I might need some help come like week 6 to like not abandon ship on it.
All right. We got you covered.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool, cool.
How about you, Shandy? What you up to? How's training going?
Good. Went on a run on Sunday. My long run is now up to 5 miles. So.
Atta girl.
Very slowly but surely. And we went on a run to like one of my favorite places that I haven't been for a long time. And then yesterday we went on a hike. Down in Big Sur in a hike that I've been on, I think maybe once before, but like a long, long time ago. And I sort of forgot about it. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And like the whole time that we were walking, in this hike, I was like totally fantasizing about like, if you guys ever come to Monterey, like I will take you there. And I had this whole day planned out. So just you guys wait. I have in my mind an entire day planned already.
Yes.
Or if and when.
Oh my God, I love it. Sold.
And it's okay. So I gave away part of it because it's the hike, but the rest of it I won't tell you because I want it to be a surprise. And it's a pretty fucking good day.
Awesome.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. You say so myself.
So excited.
I'm super excited now. So, yay.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be super fun. But no, it was good. I mean, I had a really good weekend. It was really nice to have a 3-day weekend after my first week back to work. But, like, I don't really have anything super exciting compared to last time. No sex museums, no weird animal things. But I do have a very exciting weekend planned for next weekend. So I don't know if I want to give any of that away.
Tell us.
Or if I just want to save it for next
week. Yeah, I want a little teaser.
Okay, well, listeners of the podcast might remember that last year I went to Dan Savage's Hump.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And we are going again next Saturday and in San Francisco. And it just so happens that that's also the day of the Women's March. So it's pretty perfect. Like, we are going to head up to San Francisco, do some marching, and then do some amateur porn viewing. And then we'll have to do our long run on Sunday. But we're probably going to, like, I need to look at a map and see, but, like, maybe, like, incorporate the Golden Gate Bridge into the run and like go across the bridge maybe into like Sausalito and just nice. Hanging out. Like, yeah. It's always great. Nice to run like in different places. Cause especially here, I guess anywhere you like have, you know, like the certain places that you can run for like longer distances. And that ends up being kind of like what you do over and over. And then it gets boring. So it's really right. cool. Like, we went like out of town to this other place that I don't always get to go to for our run this week. We're running in San Francisco next week after such an exciting day. So I'm very excited. It will be very
joyful. I can't wait to hear about your weekend when that happens.
I know. I'm like, last year was so great. And so I don't want to like get my hopes up too much because there might not be another thing on par with butter. And definitely this year, the object that they all have to incorporate into the video will not be the Make America Great Again hat. So, which was like triggering, but also hilarious.
Right.
So that was kind of
at the point we all needed to laugh about it.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm sure it'll be good though.
Sweet.
Nice. Right. Yeah, I keep forgetting the Women's March is coming up this weekend. I'm like kind of bummed. My friend is having a baby shower that day, and I thought
baby
it was like
shower ruins it again.
Right. So it's like I thought it was in the afternoon. So I was like, cause it's a co-ed shower. So I like convinced Daniel, like, yeah, let's just go to like the rally part of the march in the morning, and then we can go. Like, it's on the way to the shower, and we'll go to the shower. Not realizing that the shower and the march both start at 11.
Oh, boo.
I was like, well, maybe we can go to the shower late.
Yes.
So I think that's what we're going to do. It says on the invitation that it's an open house. It's a co-ed open house baby shower. So I feel like we could roll in at like 12 and it'd be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Lori, if you're listening, can I come to your shower late?
For a good cause.
I mean, if you schedule your baby shower for the same day.
Well, is she having a daughter? Just tell her that that's your gift. You're marching for her future.
I think they've decided to keep it a secret.
Okay.
What they're having, which I think is pretty cool. I support the keeping secret. Quiet of, yeah. Yeah, I think it's kind of cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I would never be able to do that. I have too big of a mouth, so. But speaking of women, we are going to be joined next week by the Real Weird Sisters for a little crossover maternity podcast action. So if you have anything that you would like to have, anything broadcast related that you want Alice and Martha to answer, or if you have anything Harry Potter related that you want to hear us discuss, there's your chance. You can email either show. Their email is realweirdsisters@gmail.com, and ours is, of course, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. So I'm really, really excited to do that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll be a total, you know, girl fest, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to, like, online meet them.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know them the way that you guys do, so that'll be pretty exciting.
It'll be a little mini Ladies of the Tribe reunion.
Yes, it will. I am super excited because I love Alice and Martha, and also because listeners who listen to their podcast will know that theirs is a very safe for work podcast. Like, it's, they don't swear. Like, it's very,
yeah.
Every now and then there's like a little comment that you can sort of read into, but like, it's very family appropriate.
So if you want to hear Martha say the fuck word.
So wait, were you going to say that we're not family appropriate?
You're definitely not.
Yes. I mean, we have a baby with us right now.
We do.
That's true.
I have a little dick inside me right now.
Just a little one.
Just a little one. Yeah. Well, got according to the ultrasound.
You can hardly feel it.
With some huge grown-ass man hands.
Yeah.
But I figure out the part. I'm very, Mom, I need more space.
Yes. Yeah.
Need more space for my hands.
Oh, my God. Ooh. No, but I'm very excited to have them onto the podcast and to talk about inappropriate things with them, because that's my favorite thing ever, just in general.
Yeah.
And to do it with Alice and Martha is just going to be a treat.
Yeah.
So.
And if Shut Up Tim doesn't send us one F, Mary, Kill, I'm going to be real pissed.
Yes. Yeah. There was mention of that in the comments, and I fully support it. I am very excited for all of
Yeah, I am too. So please send us your feedback into either email, and we'll have that show out in, well, I guess whatever week I have a baby. So sometime in 3 weeks or less.
But I have to say, Colleen, I love the fact that we were just talking about how we are not as like not safe for work and not family friendly. And then you go ahead and say F, Mary, go.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
We have a quota.
We have a quota.
We don't like deed.
Yeah. I want people to be able to listen to this at work and their coworkers only turn around once and say, what did they say?
Yep.
She so much blood?
What? I really want those F-bombs to count.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Okay. I really want to talk about my app thing that I discovered this week.
Okay.
Okay.
You have the floor.
I have the floor. So there's this thing called Artgasm. Okay. It's a new avant-garde art experience produced by this women's sexual health company called Lioness, right? And it is turns sexuality into something beautiful and one of a kind, tailored to each individual and their own unique experience. They have a public launch at CES in 2018. I think CES is usually in March, maybe?
Las Vegas, and it just happened.
Okay, so this was at CES, and essentially, it's a vibrator. You use the vibrator, it records your orgasm, and then it turns it into artwork.
Cool. Can you share a link? I feel like I need to see some visual samples here.
I can. It's artgasm.net. I just thought that this was something that was totally noteworthy to bring up. It's called Pleasure with a Purpose. I
will. Oh, it's like marrying some of my very favorite things.
I know. How do I share this with you guys?
I'm just gonna put it in the Facebook chat. Have that in your house. And when your friends come over and they're like, oh, I really like your painting. That's my orgasm.
Is that a heartbeat? Oh my God. So I think Boston's probably gonna talk about it, but he got his daughter's heartbeat on like tattoo, which was super sweet. Sorry if we're spoiling your story, Boston. Yeah. But can you imagine, like, if somebody got theirs, like, done as a tattoo and you had to explain to everyone?
What it is.
Yeah. Pretty fun.
Okay, I see how. I just want to see some visual. I just want to see some examples.
I kind of want. So, wait, this is how much? Like, $500?
Everybody become a patron. Shandy needs to buy this. She's got to save up.
Of course it plays with music. Just want to see it.
This is really cool, but
I'll put the link in the show notes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I looked it up, but I don't see any like samples on the website. It explains what it is.
Yeah, I didn't see samples either, but
yeah, I don't see like what they.
Well, there's a video.
I don't need to know how it works. You just explained how
you
it
can
works.
follow Lioness Health on Instagram.
Ah, there you go. See, Shani knows where it's at.
Because
so,
if it's just a vibrator, then like thanks, no thanks. I prefer my hands. But if it's like if it really makes a painting,
Okay. So, but it harnessed the unique biofeedback sensor technology to create art from your pleasure. So yes, and it's like up top, it shows the app. It like connects the vibrator to your phone, and that's how it makes the artwork.
Huh.
See, click on how it works. One, use the Lioness, like a normal vibrator. Two, you can tag your favorite sessions in the Lioness app. And three, see your experience as your own unique work of art.
Okay, but if it's just showing you that on your phone, like...
Right, or like this weird geometric 80s pattern that's like...
Save it.
Yeah, but if the art looks stupid, I don't want to keep that. Like, if it's just those circle-y things, like, that doesn't look that cool.
I want, like, a large format painting that I can hang on the wall.
Yeah, I want a freaking painting.
Well,
I want,
it's
like, some
still
Picasso
a startup,
shit.
Okay?
I don't want, like, a screensaver from the 90s.
It hasn't reached its climax yet. Let it grow.
I'm fine with, like, the weird sort of, like, wavelength. You know, aesthetic, but I just want it to be a painting.
Well, yeah. And it's like, I like the wavelength thing, but I don't like that. That doesn't look nice.
Okay.
Not into it.
Maybe they could work on it.
We could send in some
feedback.
Suggestions.
Yeah.
Feedback. Yeah.
Feedback.
Yeah.
Oh my God. One of the investment associates is named James Wang, which I probably. I apologize already.
5 years old.
That, but...
That's like the dude that emailed us about the. Was it a vibrator? Was it a. No, it was a fleshlight.
It was. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I didn't know what that was at the time.
Yes.
Now I do.
Well, wasn't they called like a sleeve or something? And the chat had to explain it to us. But
yeah, so stupid.
Anyway, moving on. I think Artgasm might be something to keep an eye on. It could get cooler.
I hope so. It's a cool idea.
It is a cool idea. Mm-hmm. Speaking of art, speaking of apps, rather, there is also an app out there called Legal Fling. And I happen to think that this is kind of, I don't know, it's an app that, like, gives consent. So
how explain, how does this work?
It kind of, okay, it kind of sounds like the ultimate, like, bro response to covering your ass when it comes to getting consent.
Controversial software creates legally binding contracts for consensual sex before one night stands. You can't. It's not legally binding.
Yeah, no. This,
you can't. You can take away consent at any time. That's how consent.
This smells fishy.
Yes.
Hmm.
I picked this to talk about because I know that the Me Too movement has taken a turn this week, and I don't know if you wanted to lead this discussion or not, Shandy. With the Aziz Ansari stuff. Do we want to take it away as I'm like awkwardly sitting here? Because I thought that this app was super fucking not a good idea. Like,
yeah,
you shouldn't need an app to. It kind of, to me, detracts and takes away from the fact that you shouldn't need an app to tell you that. You know, to agree to have sex with somebody. Like, it should be a one-on-one, in-the-moment discussion and
right.
granting of. So, I don't know. Maybe if you're a sex
if
worker
you feel like you need something like that, then you probably shouldn't be
thank you
having sex in the first place. If you feel like you need a paper trail of consent,
yes.
maybe you guys should just, like, call it a night.
Right.
It reminds me very much of 50 Shades of Grey and the 50 Shades of the Tribe podcast that we did back in the day. If anyone wants to listen to that, we've mentioned it a few times.
Yeah. Next time I do a broadcast drinking game, every time you mention that, it's going on it.
Yeah.
Going on it.
It really was spectacular, though. But
and that's like part of the many myriad of problems in 50 Shades of Grey. In addition to it just being, like, really shitty writing, is the whole contract thing. And, like, it's great to, like, go over in advance, obviously, like, what you do and don't want to do. But, like, the idea that you can then write it down and sign a contract is ridiculous because it doesn't matter. You can say, like, yeah, I'm good with this, but it has to be situation specific. And you can right. change your mind. Like, it's not like you're bound to this contract. I think that's the idea of the contract makes you, like, gives the impression that this is an agreement that, like, you, once you make it, you have to go through with. Where actually, like, that's not how consent works.
Right.
Thank God. You, like, you can renegotiate
any time. Yeah.
Right. Because something theoretically feels very different from when you're in the moment, and it might not be what you thought it was going to be, and ergo, you don't feel comfortable.
Or maybe you want to do it once, but not a second time. Or maybe you want to do it 99 times, but then you get to the 100th time, and you're like, yeah, no. Like, ridiculous. But, I mean, it does kind of get into what Colleen was saying. We were talking off-air a little bit about Aziz Ansari, because everyone's talking about Aziz Ansari. And it's just, like,
whenever... It did break my heart when I saw his name pop up first, though. I was like...
Right, but it also makes so much sense, because it's not just the deplorable, terrible people who do the worst things that are culpable. It's it's not all that surprising, actually, that somebody who seems to be very woke on this issue, which is weird, but like, I am rewatching Master of None right now, so that was kind of a bummer. Like, I literally just watched the episode on Ladies and Gentlemen, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't brought up in the same culture as all of us, where we're taught that you're supposed to run after the lady and basically, like, you know, wear her down, get her to say yes, convince her, all of these things, instead of the two people actually just, like, wanting, you know, the same thing and coming to terms with that. And so, you know, there's been a lot of talk about people's reactions, and there's been a lot of women also who didn't really like the way that this whole thing was framed. But I just think it's really important to reframe how we talk about everything.
Right.
And it also just got me thinking, before we started recording, like, the fact of the matter is, I think every single woman, just like me too, every single woman has had an encounter like that, where they've been sort of coerced or just, like, run down into doing something that they didn't want to do, whether it's,
or just, you know, like, uncomfortable, like, situation, period.
Right. I think that's more universally experienced than being raped or being,
right,
you know, and criminally sexually assaulted. I think most women have had some experience similar to that at some point. Right. Doesn't make it okay.
Well, and that's precisely it. Like, it doesn't make it okay. And what the thought process was when I was thinking about this was, I would really like to know how many guys, like, how many straight dudes in their experience having sex with straight women have left the encounter in tears, feeling disgusting, feeling that they just really didn't like what just happened, feeling like they were coerced into something they didn't want to do. Like, I want to know those numbers.
Mm.
Because that's just it, is like, this happens to all women, but the right. other way around, it's not the way that it's happening. So, so we right. do need to talk about this. Just because somebody doesn't necessarily need to be put away in jail, like, I'm not asking for him to be arrested or whatever, although or that's interesting too, because our first
or ostracized. Right. Like, I don't think you should lose his job over this,
but it should be a teachable moment for
no go ahead Shani, finish your point before we jump all over you.
But it is like, as no you're I'm totally monopolizing the conversation, but our first instinct, I think, is to worry about things like his career and his public image, and like, our first instinct is to be like, oh my god, like, we, and this is how, as women, we are socialized. We are worrying about him. We're not worrying about the woman. We're like, oh my god, I hope this doesn't ruin his career.
Oh, I see. I only went there because that's just kind of been what's been happening with the Me Too movement,
right.
with the
exactly
blatant we're abuses already on of power. That so that's kind of why I went to that. Is I see a difference with like a Harvey Weinstein or a Louis C.K. who was abusing power because they were in a situation where, like, a different kind. I mean, he was in a situation of power, but it wasn't a employment power.
Yeah, but I mean, well, and that's
so that's like what that's the just why thing? I went to, because I feel right. like, you know, the steps of what we've seen so far, you know, has been like, well, what's going to happen to the career next? So that's why I went to that. Like, I.
Well, because it's like, there's so much of the movement seems to crave reckoning. And I think this, I would love to see this as a different type. Like this, and we kind of talked about this a little off air, is like, this can be a teachable moment, because pretty much every dude has done something like this and maybe didn't realize. So, like, let's all talk about it and teach. And, you know, it's like someone like Aziz probably does feel awful and probably doesn't want to do it again. So it's like, let's all talk about it and teach and try and prevent this. This kind of stuff is preventable.
Let's protect ourselves. And maybe not every dude has done it, but I would put it out there that every woman has had an experience like this, which means there's a lot of this going on culturally and societally.
But I would also say, I'm sure there's a lot of really great guys in the world that probably don't realize that maybe they've done this to a woman because they didn't intentionally do it. And it's like, we're not saying and you're a bad guy, but we're saying this is something that, like, we now all need to talk about this so that we can all learn from it.
Yes.
Right. And that's sort of like,
I'm sorry.
I think I'm like, I'm of both minds at the same time. Like, I agree that this is a really good teachable moment. I think it's really important not to dismiss it and be like, oh no, she's crazy. Like, that's ridiculous. You can't call this assault, blah, 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 blah. Like, I think that's super counterproductive. And I think that shows a lot of sort of internalized misogyny. Okay. I think that this is, and not to say that anyone here is saying that, it's just like all the shit I've been reading online. But I think that it's definitely a teachable moment. And I agree that there are a lot of quote unquote good dudes who've done stuff like this. I think that that's indicative of the problem altogether. And I think that, like, on the one hand, yes, this is a teachable moment. On the other hand, dudes need to fucking teach themselves too, because it's not on us, you know? And so hopefully there are some people who are looking at this, especially men, who are realizing, like, oh, I shouldn't do X, Y, and Z, or like, I should approach things differently. I should talk about things differently when it comes to, like, obtaining consent, right? Like, making sure everyone's on the same page.
Right. And I would agree with that. sorry, Kyle. Let me just get this out of my brain.
Go ahead.
While it's fresh. I would agree with that, but I don't think men are ready to teach themselves. Oh, and I agree. It shouldn't be on us. But I think if women don't start that process, it ain't going to get started.
To prove
my point, it kind of ties into, and we didn't talk about it last week because I forgot, the Golden Globes and that whole Time's Up. And it was this wonderfully powerful moment for women. But what was starkly apparent is not a single man contributed in any constructive way. Yeah, sure, they all showed up in their black suits, which, frankly, they would have worn anyway. But no one said anything. Like, every single one of them that stepped up to that podium to accept their award didn't say anything. They didn't say shit.
Well, and what about...
So, again, it's women doing it, because if they don't do it, it doesn't get done. And that sucks. But I think that's just the reality of where it is at this moment in time. And hopefully it won't be. And hopefully it won't be someday. Right. But for now, that's where we're at. Like, you got to give that ball a big shove to get it to go down the hill.
I was highly amused by the outrage over Natalie Portman pointing out the all-male nominees for director.
I love the fucking shit out of that comment.
Me too.
It was so good because it was so unexpected. Like, watching it live, it was just so subtle. And it just...
Oh, you know that this she was presenting. She was like, "I'm fucking saying fact. This." But no. In all
seriousness, can't be mad. That was a fact.
For somebody, well, she shouldn't have said that because she took away from the recognition that the five people that were nominated were. I'm like, oh, and the five people that were nominated didn't take away recognition from women directors that could have been up there too.
Mm-hmm.
But that aside. Because I actually thought that was completely appropriate. She didn't make a big scene. She didn't go up there, you know, with a giant sign. She made a comment that was completely true. They are the all-male nominees.
I mean, she could have even gone further and said all white male nominees.
But she you know what? Even that then, like, she made her point. She made her point. Without having to cause a ruckus, and I super appreciated that.
It was subtle, it was smart, it was perfect.
Yeah.
But I love her.
So, going back to the topic of with the Aziz thing. So, I think that this, I honestly was waiting for the movement to go in this direction, right? Because the abuse of power thing kind of, you know, that got exposed. Rape and sexual assault, violent sexual assault, or sexual assault in general, got exposed. But the everyday woman who has been fortunate enough to not have experiences like that, or maybe is in a bit of denial about the patriarchy or world of sexism that she lives in, I feel like this is something that has to naturally evolve with the movement, because this is something that, as we talked about, a lot. Okay, sure, maybe there's been women who've, like, dated one person their whole life and never had to, you know, go through this awkward phase, and, like, super good for you. Like, totally, girl, you hit the jackpot. But like most women who have dated,
I mean, around, or did you?
You could be happy with
grass
your
is always greener, man. No, grass is always greener.
You know,
no experience, too much experience. Anyway. You know, we could Goldilocks the shit out of this.
Full of experiences.
Yeah. Regardless, you're taking away from my point.
Okay.
Sorry.
I would say that the majority of women who have gone out on more than, I'll say, two dates with two different people, rather, have probably been in the experience where, and even if they hadn't been on a date, when they were just, like, randomly in a bar hooking up with somebody or whatever, like, and I say that generally, everybody's had this where they were kind of, like, uncomfortable but felt too nice to stop or gave cues, verbal or nonverbal cues. So I do think that this is probably the most important conversation that we should be having within the movement, because this is the one that affects everybody in some way, whether you're the male who didn't know, because they were raised in a society where they didn't know to look for these cues otherwise, because that's our culture, or you're the woman who was on the receiving end and didn't know how to, you know, politely say, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm out. So, I don't know. I am kind of glad that we've gotten to this point. Hate to see it happen to somebody that I liked, but, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah. I was thinking, and I didn't know if you guys wanted to do this, and I had this brief idea the other day, is what if we came up with, to get the ball rolling, a list of cues, verbal and nonverbal, to that our listeners out there, male and female, might appreciate contributing to get it out there. Like, men, like with the tea thing, men, if she says no, she means no. Or if she moves away from you on the couch, she probably doesn't want to be sitting next to you doing whatever you're doing, or something like that. So I don't know if you guys were game for doing something like that, compiling it over the next couple of weeks or not. I think it could be a nice little PSA, but if you don't feel like it's our responsibility to be pointing that out, we don't have to do that either.
Well, I think there's nothing wrong with being the facilitator of a conversation, you know, and I think we've all kind of come to this point in various different inroads of, like, the more we talk about these things, the more we learn about them and the more we prevent them from happening. So, yeah, let's talk about it.
Shandy Pants?
I have a couple of comments, one that's related and one that kind of goes back to something you were saying earlier. Okay. I mean, again, like, I don't think that it's our job. I kind of think that, like, if I think that the list for me would be have emotional intelligence and talk and listen to the person you're with. But I could play along. I could be game. I don't know. Mine might get sarcastic. Don't be an idiot. You know, things like that. But
I'm, like, saying in, like, a serious manner, because there are not as many. There are people out there that aren't as emotionally intelligent, like, as you are.
Care about the person's experience with whom you're interacting. You know, it's, like, stuff like that. It's, like, this should be fucking, like, it's not rocket science. But
check in with your head once every 30 seconds.
Your top head.
Your top head. The bigger of the two heads. Just, you know, check in there.
Yeah.
See,
so
what's,
there's,
see
that.
What's,
I mean, sure. I'll play nice and I'll play along. But the other thing that I was thinking of, Colleen, when you were talking about how you're glad that the Me Too movement has gone here now, I have to say I agree, because it actually really reminds me of, like, that quote from Martin Luther King Jr. that was going around yesterday for MLK Day, where he talks about how basically the white moderate is, like, the biggest obstacle to, like, African Americans having equal status and stuff. And I just thought that, you know, that's sort of like a similar comparison is applicable here, where, like, the moderate sexist is the biggest hurdle to overcoming the patriarchy. Because, and when I say the moderate sexist, I mean the man who doesn't think he's sexist, because, like, it's really easy to point out, you know, if somebody is, like, beaten and violently raped and murdered, it's really easy to point at that and say that's wrong. But it's much harder to be like, oh, well, this really nice and funny guy that we all like did this thing that, like, doesn't need to necessarily land him in. Yeah, doesn't mm-hmm. Doesn't need to land him in jail necessarily, but is like
a relatable really situation.
Cool. Yeah, and so until we're able to look at these kinds of things and like rework the entire conversation about it, then we can't really move forward in any meaningful way.
I would be willing to wager, and I'm sure this is the minority opinion here, that there is a good contingency of men out there that don't even realize that the person that they're back home with or on a date with or whatever is uncomfortable, like just doesn't pick up on those cues. And that's why I thought it might be nice to have a little cheat sheet for them. Because I do think that there are, and the younger you are, probably, excuse me, the younger you are, the more that it applies to you because you don't have the experience. You don't know what you haven't heard from older siblings or seen on TV or in the movies or something. So, I think good turning point for society and how women are treated from the basic level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and to get from a point of, I'm sure there's probably plenty of dudes that after the fact maybe have questioned like, oh, hey, was I maybe like not acting appropriately? Did I maybe miss some things? But like, how can we get them to the point where they don't have those feelings after the fact? They have them in the moment of like, oh, hey, is that her pulling back? Like maybe I should check in.
Because we say this from 33-year-old women. I can only say that for 2 more weeks. 33-year-old women who have had dating experience before and have the knowledge of hindsight and having been in the situation. Whereas there might be a 20-year-old out there listening right now who does not have any idea and is probably now scared off from dating ever again. But you know what I mean, though. Just the emotional immaturity that it would be nice to start a conversation to be more aware of it. Because we had that email a couple of months ago from somebody that realized that they were like a little shit to women in high school. And then now that they're in their 40s, they have more knowledge that was wrong and they were ashamed of it.
Right. And that's great. But I would wager that there are actually tons and tons of men our age and older who don't actually have that after the fact, like, oh, wait, there was something off. Was she actually having a good time moment? And they just think everything's fine.
Right. Well, and that's
exactly the Aziz case. And I think that really a majority of them are of these types of encounters kind of go like that, where there actually is no second thought. Which is why men are rushing to the defense.
And that's why it's wonderful that we've reached this point of the time. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But like, even like he says that like it was brought to his attention, he immediately thought about it and like felt bad. Like I'm sort of the point that so long as you get there, like let's keep encouraging and teaching you to be better. You know?
Yeah. I'm just like tired of
you're tired excuses of it, but you know, unfortunately, like things get better with when they're brought to the light, when they're recognized and explained. It's kind of like with a child. Like a child has a temper tantrum, you have to explain to them why they were told no about something. Like it's, you know, there's especially something that's always just been accepted as is, which sucks. But I'm more of the, and maybe I just approach everything from explaining it to a tantruming child. And this point of my life.
Right.
But like, I, you know, I feel like I'm more of the great, we're here. This is why it needs to be brought up. I'm glad we're at this point in history. Now let's start teaching some shit. So some people, and not in a condescending way, but in a way where people actually want to listen and be better and be the change and all that stuff.
Right. And not to mention that it's helpful for the women that find themselves in that position too. Like 20-year-old me would have loved some advice on how to stand up for myself. 25-year-old me would have loved a few phrases or like ways to shift myself to get out of situations that I didn't feel like I had the vocabulary to speak up about.
Yeah.
So it's not just about teaching the dudes. Like it's also empowering, women on how best to speak up for themselves.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if you get out of a date on your own without having to pretend like your friend is calling you and you have an emergency?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yes and no, but like that goes back to the assumption that the dude in question isn't going to be a dick because...
Well, it doesn't matter. If they're a dick, then they're definitely not the ones for you.
Mm-hmm. No. But I'm just saying, like, even, like, part of why we're always nice in the situation is because we were socialized to be nice and to defer to their feelings and to make sure that they're feeling okay and to not hurt their ego, et cetera, et cetera. But part of the reason why we're like that, too, is that we don't want them to murder us. And so, like, you know, just having the vocabulary, like, I agree that it's like, I'm all about, like, people learning how to talk to each other and express their needs, etc. But like sometimes people won't give clear verbal instructions because like you know the guy might be a psycho and like there are too many stories that show that to actually be true or you know to like brush it off. So you never know if he's going to be angry or if he's going to get violent or whatever.
Right, but that's all the more important then to like talk about a few key phrases.
Yeah, or just, sure, I'm just get yourself like, I'm just, out of that
it's
situation.
It's like all the more important. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's just my mindset is always more focused on the, it's on men to just not be terrible people. And like, they need, and I know that it's like both at the same time. And I completely understand that. But I'm still just like, so, it just makes me so mad that.
Right, like, but you know,
they need to
and I think I'm still just a little too pessimistic to think that.
And I kind of am in and the I, it's get too it done important. Mindset.
It's too
where,
exactly. It's too important to me for it to get done. That it's like fine, we've got to put on our big girl panties and help you yet
I'm
again.
See, I'm not even pessimistic about it. I genuinely just think like we're at a moment we have attention, so let's just use that attention and start to say some of the shit that we demand and expect. That's my perspective, at least.
I could get behind that.
Yeah, no, and that's great. And I just think that also, again, like, what just makes my blood boil is, like, wouldn't the men, and I know that a lot of the men that listen to our podcast, like, do fall in the category of, like, the good men that, and not the ones that I'm talking about.
I would
about,
say if they
like,
listen and they're still listening, they're all the good men. Because if they weren't and they totally disagreed with everything that we said, they would have stopped a long time ago.
We appreciate you. Thank you for being part of
you
the
is
conversation.
Kind, you is good. You is important. Thank you.
Yeah, because men as like a collective, you know, like 50% of the population or whatever, wouldn't it just like really be terrible to hear how you're perceived by the other half of the population, like, wouldn't you want to do better? Like, that's, you know, that's the part that kind of gets me. Like, I know that if it was me, I would be,
I think it's
I'd want
that,
to be part of the solution.
I guess, yeah, but right. I think it's good that so many men are listening.
Some.
Because there are a lot of men
even good men, even really, really, really good men that I love dearly, some of them had reactions, initial reactions to the Aziz thing, think, but she went to his apartment. Like, what was she expecting? Good men in my life.
Oh, see.
And then we had a conversation about it, and then they were able to think about it in a much more nuanced way, but initial reaction, still.
Okay, see, my initial reaction was, why is she like complaining like, about getting a second glass of wine? I would totally have been like, sure, order me a second glass. That was my complaint about it. Sorry.
And that it was white, not red.
Yo, that, I mean, God, you
like,
have terrible taste.
You're not at the bar. Sometimes people only keep certain things in their house.
I don't know. I mean, I would have been horrified by the white wine, too, but not the pouring of the second glass.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Chardonnay,
right,
I would have been gone.
Free wine. Woo. Sorry.
You have terrible taste in wine. I'm leaving.
Sorry. We're not taking this seriously enough.
No.
I think we've discussed it kind of to death.
So. We do.
And I think a little bit of humor sometimes helps the pill go down easier.
Yeah, but that some of, I could see where some of it could have been edited down because it did take kind of a long time to get to the point, but that's just from a writing.
We're not here to critique.
We're not
the
here
writing.
To critique the I'm not critiquing the experience. I was just like, girl, complaining about what?
Well,
kidding.
Yeah. I haven't read the full thing, but I think part of me also feels a little bit like I'm glad we're here. I'm glad we're talking about it. I think it is, you know, Colleen, as you made the good point, it is something that out of all the things is important to talk about. But something about the way the story was brought to light kind of felt a little forced to me. Mm-hmm. Like a tiny bit opportunistic. And that's, I think that's what I think a lot of people are pushing back on.
Yeah, but she did anonymously. So it's not like she's getting fame from it. But I think it's more
how the publication, not her specifically, it's how certain publications picked up the story and pushed it out. You know, like I have no fault with her specifically. And like, yeah, it is important to be talking about it. I think it's just the way certain media outlets jumped on it.
Mm-hmm.
Felt a little opportunistic to me.
Yeah, but
not her.
I'm glad that the discussion is happening.
I am too.
Does anybody have any last words? Because otherwise, let's move on to our facey back.
Woo!
Facey
back up.
Right. We'll start off with Greg. Yes, I'm finally off work and can download and listen. Welcome back, Broads. I've missed you. We've missed you too, Greg. yes. Let's see. First movie of the Broadcast Movie Club. This is from Matt. And it's a 46-minute cut of The Last Jedi that edits out all the women. Interesting. So it's only 46 minutes long out of a two-hour movie. There is a lot of girl power in that movie.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome.
I will say that.
Also, was Laura Dern's character, not that I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but it kind of felt like she just, showed up out of nowhere. If she was that important, she should have been in other movies. So, I was like, did I miss something?
Yeah, I kind of had that, too. But at least, you know, she kind of got more of a role as it went on. But, yeah, it was definitely a little odd, right? The pacing of her character.
Right. Just like, oh, this is the Admiral. She's in charge now. It's like, who is she?
Yeah, I'm like, who are you?
Where was she? Where was she in the last movie? Do they cut that scene out?
It's
Did
a
they
trap.
Go to the bathroom during that scene?
No, I do agree. Thankfully, though, you know, she got badass.
Mm-hmm.
John said, driving in San Francisco is ridiculous, less terrible nowadays, and yes, salad is gross. Salad is gross. I did have a salad for lunch, though, with sirloin steak in it. So I made it better.
Oh, sirloin steak is gross.
So is your face.
Well, it's because I haven't washed it since this morning. It's winter skin. Leave me alone.
Ed the Creepy Mailman says, just listen to another fun episode of the Broadcast. Now let's play which lotion goes to what girl based on her story. Have fun. And then he put Vicks, Icy Hot, and regular lotion. Funny. All of them went to me.
So...
I don't even remember what stories we told that had to do with lotions.
I was talking about how I asked last week, I asked a doctor why my skin was sensitive and is there anything I could put on it, and Jay, you know, was like, what about Vicks? And she was like, yeah, sure, if you want your kid to smell like menthol. So yeah, that story. Yeah, you laughed last week too.
I probably laughed the exact same way. Good joke is a good joke.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Matt says, I'm crossing my fingers that he comes early. And Mike says, I think that's how he came in the first place.
That made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Good joke.
Did I ever tell you guys about the That's What She Said off we had?
No.
So we did a Metro Biz reunion at the, podcast marathon thingy, the thing that we're doing in May, but it was in March at the time, and we had, I think it was Mike, Nick went against, was it maybe Illyrio and somebody else, and essentially we gave them a topic and they had to think of as many That's What She Said one-liners as they could in a certain set of time. It was really funny.
Just nice.
We should totally bring that back. Not for us, for our listeners to do. I do. That was really, really fun. And now it's time for Butter She-mails. Do we want to do the emails first or the voicemail?
Whatever's easiest for you.
Yeah, I'm fine with whatever's easiest.
Let's just do the voicemail. Okay. We have a message from John Norton, who is also good with the "that's what she said" jokes. Let me plug this puppy in and we'll get to it.
Hello, ladies. John Norton here. I want to welcome you back. It was good to hear you guys last week. So I was watching a YouTube video, or at least I was about to, and a movie trailer started to play. Normally, click these things away, as usually we all do, but for some reason I kept watching. It was a movie I hadn't heard of before, and it turned out it was an ad for this new Cock Blockers movie. I guess the movie's actually just called Blockers, but they throw up a big picture of a rooster, just, you know, because they are all about subtlety. And apparently the premise of the film is that, you know, it's the old high school story of a bunch of kids wanting to lose their virginity on prom night or, you know, before graduation. And the parents are going to, you know, do everything possible to stop them. And I'll give it to them. The trailer actually had a couple funny moments, and, you know, maybe it'll be a funny movie, maybe it'll be stupid. But something about it stuck out to me because I never remembered a movie where this concept was literally the entire premise. Now, you have tons of movies like Superbad all the way back to American Pie and beyond about, you know, kids trying to lose their virginity, especially, you know, like, usually it's like the nerdy guy or something like that, and he's a dream girl and stuff like that. But I never actually remembered the plot centering around the parents of these kids, especially doing anything to stop that from happening. And it just sort of struck me of like, I don't know. Like, do you think that's a good message? And, you know, maybe overanalyzing a stupid comedy starring John Cena, but I just thought I'd ask you guys, you know, maybe, you know, you can take a look at the trailer, see what you think, but you guys have talked a lot about, you know, losing your virginity and sex culture in America and, you know, coming from three women who said their experiences were at worst bad and at best kind of boring. I just wondered what you thought message of a movie like this is, because it does kind of equal sex is bad, as the parents are, you know, going to do all these crazy things to try to stop their sons and daughters, or maybe it's just daughters, I couldn't really tell, from doing this. And maybe in a little more of a Shandy question, you know, would a film like this even make sense overseas, you know, where sex is looked upon very differently? And, you know, the culture is quite different with that whole thing, and, you know, someone's first time. I don't know. I guess just I never remembered a movie that had this sort of exact plot so focused on it, and just thought that was maybe a little strange, and thought there might be an interesting discussion to be had about the message that is, you know, obviously contained in it and is the theme of it, and if that was really good or not. So, I don't know. Take a look at new seminal comedy coming out, Cock Blockers, and see what you think. All right. Thanks, ladies. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
I've actually seen this trailer.
I've seen it, too.
And I was just like, John Cena is acting. I'm playing the father of a teenage girl. Okay.
I did a quick Google search. I do not see another movie in which this was a plot, so we can settle on that.
I don't know, but I kind of feel like this is also one of those films that kind of has one of those reversals at the end where, like, they realize they're being overbearing and, like, they have to let their children fly and live their own lives and know that they've raised good kids and they're going to make good decisions. Like, I can kind of see it being one of those kind of movies.
But it's
like The Hangover. It's like all about the hijinks, and then it, like, gets all warm and fuzzy at the end.
Yeah. So you're saying it's a parents' coming-of-age story.
I think it's a parents' coming-of-age story. I do. If I were to wager a guess based on general comedy tropes.
Yeah, it did seem kind of like your neighbors or your whatever, like, insert
exactly
dumb comedy kind of movie. I don't know. I guess I didn't really I looked at it as a comedy, not like a teaching kind of, like not a learning moment kind of movie in which there would be a message that really would need to be taken seriously in any way, shape, or form. But
Shandy, no Patch Adams.
Everybody wants to hear from you and what you think.
So I looked this up too, because it's interesting. Like, at first it's presented, you know, the name is Cock Blockers.
It's which just Blockers, isn't, Shandy.
Yeah, it's Blockers.
With a big rooster. It's interesting, like, when you think about the terminology of cock blocking, like, that's interesting in and of itself. So when the name comes in and it's cock blockers, for me it conjures up an image of a bunch of teenage boys trying to get laid, kind of like John said, like a la American Pie. And then you read the description, and it turns out to be, and then you're like, oh, like, so my thought process is, okay, it's a bunch of little boys, little teenage boys trying to get laid. Like, yeah, that's been done before. The parents thing is really fucking weird. That's maybe not been done before.
Parents coming of age for all those Gen Xers out there that are.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. The description, and you see that it's actually three daughters who have a pact to lose their virginity at prom. So I'm like, oh, now I get why this entire movie revolves around parents trying to stop their kids from having sex, because it's not the boy kids, it's the girl kids. This whole thing seems really fucked up. Now, coming back to the name, why then is it called cock blockers? Shouldn't it be called like vagina blockers, like clitoris blockers? Something like that. So that's a whole other thing, like whatever. But then box blockers.
Whoa. Shandy just got like super weird. You got censored.
Ooh, okay. It's still.
The internet gods have censored you.
And then you guys were kind of cutting in and out too. So it's totally the internet on my end. That happens from time to time. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Box blockers, go.
Yeah, I was going to say, could we talk about, hold on, box blockers.
Oh my God!
And oh, that's a safer work title. You don't need to put a picture of a box.
Yep, totally. Okay, well, they've really, I mean, in
missed opportunity.
Ooh, your internet, Shandy. You
got, yeah, we got to do something about it. You might have to jump off and jump back on. It is intense.
Oh, shit.
And I don't want to miss any of these good points you're making, but, like, the buzzing is a lot.
Okay, BRB.
Okay. Because who is the woman in? Is it?
Leslie Mann.
That's what I thought. I was going to say Leslie Mann. So it's a Judd Apatow movie.
I don't think so. Hold on.
I feel like, does she do movies that aren't made by her husband?
It's a woman. She made Pitch
Perfect. Interesting.
Pitch Perfect 2 and Pitch Perfect 3.
Oh, wait, no. Elizabeth Banks did Pitch Perfect 2.
No, she didn't direct it, though.
No, she directed Pitch Perfect 2.
Oh, she's a producer. Sorry.
Yeah.
So this is her first directing credit.
Okay.
She may not be making a great case to be nominated for the Golden Globe next year.
To continue me. But, you know.
Shandy, are you back?
I'm back, but can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes. Oh, you're back to your old self.
We've determined that this movie has a woman director.
That's unfortunate.
I know. Doesn't it kind of change how you feel a little bit?
This totally could have been a case of get paid bitch.
I don't know, but it's like a first, I mean, I get it, like first time director of like a, you know, a bigger, like a studio film. Like you want to jump at the opportunity, but like,
And I mean, I guess there's been a lot of like, Ghostbusters was all dudes, so let's redo it with women. And like, I love that movie, but you know, then you know, fill in the blank, whatever movie, any basically all movies almost were all men, so let's redo it with women. And like, that's cool in certain cases, but this is a case of like, American Pie has been done, so let's redo it with women. But like, what doesn't really work here is you're showing some major problems if then, like, the way that you change the plot is to have the parents try to stop the kids from having sex. I mean, unless it was, like, some really smart critique of our contemporary society, but I kind of...
Based on the trailer, I would say no.
Yeah, I kind of doubt that.
But it's also, like, not... I think, you know, the daughters are secondary characters. I think it's about the three parents and two of which are men.
Right. So, and that goes back to John's question of... like, would this movie happen in another country? And, like, I really can't speak to many other countries except for maybe France. And, like, obviously in France, no, this would never happen. And I think part of it is that it's just so goddamn immature, like, this whole premise. And I think that in the U.S., we are pretty spectacularly immature about sex in a lot of ways. In other ways, like, we're, you know, pretty cool and, like, there's nuance there, but I think that like there's definitely some immaturity. And when like, I mean, when you look at the fact just like of how we teach abstinence only in high school, you know, like we're sort of like stunted as a culture. And so you get movies like this fucking piece of shit that I would be interested to see.
Watch, this is going to be like the next Hangover.
Which also sucks. Sorry, not sorry.
Oh, I love the Hangover.
I liked the first one.
I liked the first one too.
I think it was second, like a...
Yeah, two or me.
I didn't see the second or the third.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll pass. I mean, I get that, like, if you just want to be entertained about some... with some, like, slapstick crazy
antics. Yeah, see, I love slapstick crazy antics.
You know, I do love Home Alone, but...
I recently saw the new Baywatch and thought it was really fun. So, I have terrible, terrible taste in movies. If things blow up, I love them. If there is a over-the-top maniacal genius who is not a genius, I am in. I love White House Down, okay? Like, legit bought that movie and watch it sometimes when I'm bored.
I've never even heard of that. So.
Just like any movie with a good musical interlude.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Then we're going to give him a best friend hug.
Okay, sorry.
Did I mention that one of the latest movies that I've seen is Call Me By Your Name, which is like also about a teen and like it's like a very beautiful love story.
I don't think there's very many worlds in which those two films live in the same conversation.
No, except for right now
on the broadcast. We'll get this kind of stuff anywhere else, folks.
Yeah.
Where I'm saying, like, you can get something sort of edgy and, like, put, you know, posing interesting questions, but also just, like, this really beautiful love story and sort of coming of age and first sex and all this. And then, back in America, we have cock blockers.
Well, you know.
Box blockers. So, yeah, there's that. That's all I have to say about teens out to have fun.
Well, you know what? I don't know what kind of movies they make in the shithole countries you're used to, Shandy. But in America, we are classy.
We take our poop and fart jokes seriously.
Seriously. Moving on. We have two more emails.
Dick jokes even more seriously.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm always there for a good dick joke.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
All right. We have an email from Drake, and we have an email from Andy, and then we're going to get out of here. All right.
Okay. Pull it up.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Dick joke. Laugh, Shandy.
Oh, so good. Mm.
My mouth is full.
That's what she said.
Setting you all up there.
Bat it back down. Drake's email. Single friends versus married friends. Hello, ladies. A few months ago, I found a local gaming group that I could play Pokemon Go with, and it seemed to help me some as I was getting out of the house and meeting, talking to people. I met a friend who happens to be married, and we clicked from the start. We had a lot in common and thought along the same lines on many subjects. We would hang out while her kids were in school and chase Pokemon all over town. That sounds fun.
That's so sweet.
People started to notice and started rumors that her and I were sleeping together, and even rumors that I was going around claiming to have slept with her. We have never hugged, let alone slept together. People started to message her husband, who is not in the group, and telling him all sorts of things, like her and I taking trips to different river walks alone, and he started to threaten me. I guess the rumors got out of hand, and they kicked me from the group, which is probably better. I am not around all those drama-filled people.
That's shitty. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible.
I'm mad for you.
Seriously, I have other married friends who I hang out with their wives, and it's never been an issue before. A few people said I am in the wrong for hanging out with her because I'm single. I never forced her to go anywhere with me, and she would even message me asking me where we were going today on some mornings. There was a lot of flirting between the two of us and sharing of intimate stuff, but we both had the understanding it would go nowhere. Was I in the wrong for making friends with her because I'm single? Drake. Absolutely freaking not. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just sorry that all these people are so bored with their lives that they need to be involved and poking around in yours.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what I think.
Yeah, I think it's really sad that you got kicked out of the group and that you had like found a group that was really fun. But it is kind of almost like the silver lining is that these people sound fucking awful. And yeah. You should try to like find another group that you can do these kinds of things with, because like, fuck, as a married person, if I was not allowed to have friends because I was married, like, fuck that. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, that's also, like some Mike Pence,
like, mother business.
Yeah. And you're grown-ups. You should be able to be friends with somebody who is married or single, like, you know, the opposite. Like, that's just ridiculous. Like,
Right. Well, and it's also, like, A, that means these people didn't really know you at all. And they were, you know, that they could come to those kind of conclusions about who you are as a person. And also, that chick's husband is probably also crazy insecure that he would doubt his wife, that she, like, couldn't have a platonic relationship with a dude.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that about? And that's why, like, some like, married people, like, kind of aren't allowed by their spouses to have, like, opposite-sex friends, you know, if they're, like, in a same-sex relation, opposite-sex relationship. And that's fucking crazy to me. Like,
yeah.
So I mean, unfortunate. It's disturbing on so many levels. Like, it totally disregards friendship and, like, what friendship is and how important that is in life. Yeah. And it also presupposes that any sort of interaction between two people of the opposite sex must be somehow rooted in sex.
Right. And, now, this is, of course, just excluding the outside factors, like maybe this person has had affairs before or something and has, you know, but on the whole, though, if you guys were just friends and you never even, like, hugged, it's...
I mean, you were playing Pokemon even if this person Go. That's pretty, like, you know, it's about as wholesome as it gets.
I don't care if this wife has had a million affairs. Like, there's still no reason that she can't have friends. And, like, she and her husband need to figure their shit out if it's, like, getting in the way. And, I don't know, her husband just sounds like a fucking, nightmare. And... I am sorry for her for being married to that person. I have to wonder, like, what does she think about this? Like, she just lost a friend, too. That fucking sucks.
Right.
Well,
exactly. Like, did she do anything to, like, stand up for Drake or, like, you know?
Well, you know, that's on her, though. She's got to control, you know, she's got to handle her shit on that end.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why it probably is better that he's just not involved with them at all anymore because, frankly, the... Like, maybe the wife is cool, but, like, the rest of the circle and the husband, they all sound like just terrible people.
Right.
At the very least, they sound like petty gossips that probably have their favorite movie be Cockblockers or something. So.
Exactly. They are the
way
first
to tie that
on.
Yeah, thanks. I'm sure they wear pink on Wednesdays, too.
Yeah.
Just saying. But, sorry, that sucks. Well, we have one more email, and this is we have another email, and it's a This Week in Andy's Virginity.
All right. Andy writes in, "Hey, broads. I'm canceling my dating site subscription tonight. Aww. We've been over it, but in short, it just hasn't been worth it. One date and all, but a handful of attempted conversations that went nowhere. I hoped it would get me out there, but it reinforced a lot of feelings on dating that I've had. It also didn't help that I was doing it in an area of small towns, where it felt like a lot of the same 20 to 30 women who ignored me or I thought weren't for me over and over again. I really wanted it to work, especially since I paid for it. Guess we'll see if Meetup helps get me closer to people I'd like to date. Because you were wondering, the book in the book club is Everything I Never Told You by Celeste. How do you pronounce N-G? Ng?
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 Don't know... Don't know
this
if I'll...
horrible. Okay, sorry.
Don't know if I'll get to it. Currently number 53 on the waiting list of 6 copies. Well, shit. But from the little browsing I've done on Meetup, I can see a lot of potential here. I also feel like I've heard of this book. Anyway. Yeah.
I've heard of that author, actually.
I wanted to chime in on John's voicemail last week regarding mid-party hookups. I wasn't invited to that kind of party when I was in high school, and I doubt I'd be invited to a party where that would happen today. If I were, my thought process probably would be like, what are you, 16? When I was 16, I was a bit jealous, and I wasn't the one having sex, especially considering. That's the time it starts to happen for most people, and add to that the heightened emotions of being a teenager that left out friends, as you discussed on the last episode. It's especially strong for guys, where being sexual is emphasized so heavily. But there's so much put upon guys to have sex, considered a serious character flaw in some circles. That leads to some desperate attempts at masculinity, some of them serious and harmful, like sexual assault, and some ridiculous teen boys denying that they masturbate when they do it at the drop of a hat. Sorry, Colleen, 10 years in advance.
Well, you know, I kind of figured. I mean, they're their father's son, so, you know. But I'm chuh.
Those teenage feelings of being left out aren't as intense as they were back then, but it's still there for me because, you know, the whole virgin thing. I'd go from hearing rumors about hookups in high school to hearing moans and creaking furniture in the college dorms. Now I'm more mature about it and know some of these rumors were just talk, and being a virgin isn't the worst thing in the world. Still kind of sucks, though. # I'm with hers, Andy.
All right. Thank you, Andy. I mean, I get that feeling of being left out and all that, like Amanda was talking about last week. So yeah. Thank you for your insight there.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to hear that online dating wasn't working out, but you're certainly not alone. You know, I think by the time I had stopped online dating, I very much felt the same way.
And I did look up that author, and she wrote a book called Little Fires Everywhere, and I have heard of that book. So, and her last name is pronounced Ing, so Celeste Ing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could have looked it up, but right.
Would have messed with the flow.
Yeah.
Well, I usually read all of the feedback beforehand, before the show, little behind the scenes here, but Andy usually writes in right before we record, so I didn't have time.
That's okay.
But not that I'm blaming Andy or anything, but
seriously. # Andy, not all podcasters are unprepared. Anyways, yes. But yeah, a lot of potential. That's exciting. Keep us posted. Thank you for the insight on the email. If anybody else on the voicemail from last week, if anybody else has any thing to say about that voicemail, this week's voicemail, Drake's predicament, Andy's situation, Aziz Ansari, ripped abs, because I'd like to hear if anybody else experienced this and if they went back to normal, because I'm a little scared. Real Weird Sisters, Artgasm, and all the other fun things that we talked about today. Please let us know, broadcasters3@gmail.com, or you can give us a call, 331-276-2373. Thank you to our patrons, as always, especially to Eckhart Tack from Tokyo, Molly the Millennial, and Ed the Creepy Mailman, and his, you know, I was looking at the picture again. He posted Icy Hot and VapoRub. I would have thought for the creepy trifecta you would have gone with Ben Gay, but I guess not. missed opportunity there. I'm looking forward to how many That's What She Says that we said that we missed. I'm sure they'll be pointed out. Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
What else? Patrons, if you want to become a patron, you can please do. We want to try to get to 100 patrons this year. I think we've gotten one since last week, so we've got 99 more to go.
Easy peasy.
Totes easy peasy. Let me see. We did. Welcome, Patrick. Thank you for being a patron.
All right. Now Patrick just needs to invite five of his friends, and then we'll be off to the races.
Off to the races. then we'll be 6% there.
Hooray!
Woo! But yes. You can go to patreon.com/JaneJack, or you can go to janejack.com and click on the Become a Patron link that's on the website. If you're so inclined and would like to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, you can go to janejack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. I purchased a bookshelf, which I assembled myself the other day through the Amazon
Good
link.
Good on you.
I know.
Nice.
Now, Jay assembled a bassinet in... He assembled the bassinet in the time that it took me to get one shelf into a bookshelf. So
okay, shelves can be tricky.
It's
sometimes
a learning curve, but I got it. I had my little 3-year-old helper towards the end. He came in and was like, "What? You're doing something that doesn't involve me? I want to play." we're all set, except my mom ordered. She wanted to get the crib bedding and stuff for us, so she ordered it, but she had it sent to her house. So. You know,
is she planning to come visit like short, like
she is, she's there for the to birth? Come down as soon as I go into labor, but it's just like,
don't leave the bedding at home.
Don't leave that at home. But anyway, we are a lot more set on the home front, although we did realize that we don't actually have diapers.
Oh, you better get on that.
So we really need to get on that. We were talking about that yesterday, and I was just like, you know, baby shit, and we got nothing to put that shit in, so we should probably get some diapers.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you, like, stock up in advance? And if so, how much?
It's always helpful to stock up in advance because it's a pain in the butt to run out and have to, like, run out to the store.
It is. I bet it is a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
And I used to do the with Zach, and I'll probably do it again. The recurring Amazon thing where, you know, you save
yes.
by having it done. But even with that, Zach used to poop so friggin' much, as we know, that we would still have to buy like a small pack in between that monthly diaper pack because it would never be enough.
Wow. And did you ever think about using like a few reusable ones, like just to like try and save a little money? Or were they just too gross to make it worth it?
Well, I mean, he also used to have blowouts all the time, so it was like I was washing reusable diapers in the sink. Or in the bathtub, rather. I have thought about that, and I might look into it after we get out of the newborn phase, where I have time to think about that. Not opposed to that. Anyways, ding. Maybe we'll see you next week. Maybe we won't. Who knows? Anyway, sorry guys, that was a lot of talking. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And until next week, get your feedback in for the Real Weird Sisters. Peace out.
Yay.
Bye.